Hello everyone, thanks for joining us. I'm John Noonan with Azure Marketing, and I'm excited to have two great guest speakers here today to discuss API management with Azure. We've got Yugeni Popov, and Principal Program Manager of Azure API Management, and Miranda Luna, Product Manager for Mobile Services, Notification Hubs, and API Management. They're going to kick things off with a presentation and a demo, and we'll save about 10 to 15 minutes at the end of the session for Q&A. So if you have any questions along the way, feel free to submit those, and we'll answer as many as we can at the end. And just to note, we'll be making slides and a recording of this webinar available to folks who registered in the near future. And with that, I'll hand it off to Miranda.
Thanks, John. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. My name is Miranda, and later, Yevgeny will also be joining us and taking us through a few things. To give you an idea of what we're going to cover today, first, we're going to just briefly touch on kind of the rise of APIs in the organization. If you're attending today's webinar, you're probably very interested in kind of how you deal with the publishing and managing side of all of these APIs you've built, APIs for internal systems that you want to expose to a variety of external or internal customers. Then we'll look at kind of, you know, overview of Azure API management. What are you actually getting with the service? How can you get started today, and cover some key concepts of it. Then we'll transition into a demo, so you'll actually get to see it in action. You know, how do you create, publish an API? How do you apply some policies to that? And then what is that developer experience once you've published it to your customers? So that will touch on a couple of customers who have started using API management today, give you a quick overview of their use cases and what they've found to be very useful. So usually it's helpful to hear kind of what other people have done in the wild, and we're happy to point out a few. Then we'll wrap up by pointing you towards some resources, and like John mentioned, covering Q&A. We definitely know that you'll probably have a few questions, so we're happy to stick around as long as needed. And we're also always available afterwards via email, and there'll be an email available for you guys to shoot a note over to. So let's get started. Well, first, the most important thing to realize about APIs is, you know, there's been incredible growth in the past few years. You know, the public APIs you see are pretty much just the tip of the iceberg. You know, especially if you're coming to this webinar from an organization, you probably know that if you are trying to expose APIs externally to developers or to partners, it's probably just a very small subset of the ones that actually exist in your organizations for various systems and databases that you want to expose to internal teams so that they can leverage what already exists and stop reinventing the wheel. So, you know, we incredible growth in this area, but with that growth, it's kind of introduced a few different management issues. Management issues that are going to be different for every type of API. So, you know, you might have certain types of API, you might want to apply certain policies and expose certain APIs privately to internal teams. You might want to expose different sets to different internal teams, apply looser quotas on those. But then you might want to also have some APIs that you expose to partners, perhaps a subset of the private APIs. Probably want to apply different policies and throttles, maybe add some transformations, perhaps in a little facade layer so that, you know, some of the complexity is abstracted away for partners and that they can kind of work with a cleaner API. And again, that might be true of public as well. Public APIs that you expose to any third-party developer, could be a completely different set, could be a subset of, again, the subset that was partner APIs, but you're really just seeing kind of this proliferation creating a lot of management issues in terms of how do you actually publish these APIs reliably, securely, and at scale, and how do you handle the management for all these different interest groups. So, you know, what we really said in looking at API management, where can we really deliver value to our customers, API publishers, who then, you know, need to make sure they empower their customers, which are the API consumers. You know, we really looked at, hey, let's think about how API management can help organizations monetize their digital assets. That's that public API component we just talked about. How can an organization monetize existing assets by publishing as an API? You've seen a ton of new companies come up that are completely API-based. You know, companies like Twilio and SendGrid are completely, I mean, their business is selling bundles of API calls that provide access to their underlying services. So that's a completely new business model that a lot of organizations that maybe had different ones are definitely getting into. Again, transforming a product into a platform, if you think of kind of exposing every core functionality of a product that's an extensible API, you think about how much value partners can add, how much customers can really tailor solutions to what they need. We wanted to make sure that API management would enable that. And then again, creating new content channels. If you think about how valuable it could be to get information about your data and systems into the hands of people, no matter what application they're using, regardless of if it's your own, that's a hugely powerful content channel. If you think of folks like transit authorities who typically want to allow schedules and locations of public transit to be available in a bunch of different applications, you know, they're really not doing that to directly monetize their digital assets. They're not really doing it to transform their products into a platform. You know, you can't access an API that'll change bus routes. They are creating new content channels that let them reach new customers and make sure that, you know, their customer base is actually as informed as possible. And, you know, that's an extensibility component that they don't have to build and support, a wide suite of applications. They're letting the community really build on that and deliver that value. So those kind of three principles are what we wanted to make sure API management would serve as the bedrock for. We wanted to make sure we enable all three of those in organizations with independent developers, running the gambit from the largest enterprises to smaller size. So just to take a step back for a moment before we get too deep into API management itself, I want to give a little bit of context about kind of why we made this investment in Azure. So in Azure, we've always had a really great story for building and hosting APIs. You know, mobile services and websites both providing a great option for building APIs, hosting them, and then, of course, you know, traditional web services as well, which Microsoft has supported for some time. But what we were missing was kind of a publish and manage component, and that's where API management came in. And this is out of our acquisition of a company called Epiphany, which Yevgeny was the CEO of, so still working on the best products here. So this API management piece kind of completes that complete our story in terms of what we offer for organizations dealing with how to build, host, publish, and manage APIs. So kind of using services in Azure in conjunction or using API management with existing web services you have, whether that's on-prem or in the cloud, we really want to make sure you had that end-to-end view and that you are enabled to do what you need to. So let's take a look at what API management actually is at a high level first, and then we'll talk about some key concepts. And I will hand it over to Evgeny for kind of a wider view of the world and then a demo. So in Azure API management, there's really three key concepts to keep in mind. First being the developer portal. That's where your developers are going to come and actually access all of your services. The API proxy, which is what your developer applications will communicate with in order to access your underlying APIs. You're going to configure that proxy to work with your APIs. And the publisher portal, which is where you as an API publisher or admin is really going to come in and actually make all the magic happen. So how does this work? So you as the publisher or admin comes into the publisher portal and configures your backend web service, your API to work with the API proxy. And it's really important to note that that API can be hosted anywhere and authored in any language on any platform. It can be hosted in Azure. We talked about mobile services and websites. But it could also be hosted on premises. It could be hosted in Colo and a different public cloud. Pretty much any language tool or framework you want to use, you can get up and running and just hook API management into what you already have. So then after you've kind of configured the API proxy to work with your APIs, you've applied policies, you've set throttles, you've set quotas, you've packaged the different APIs into products that developers can access. Developers can then come in as API consumers to the developer portal. They can immediately self-provision an account. You don't have to do anything in order to stand that up. And then they are off and running, able to access and use the APIs in the manner prescribed by you in their application. So once they've registered, they can configure their applications to communicate with the API proxy, and that's what's going to actually allow them to consume your services in their end application. So that you are, again, going back to those three things, either able to monetize your digital assets, you know, transform your product into a platform, you know, create new content distribution channels. So let's cover some key concepts in API management. Some of this terminology may be familiar if you used different API management services in the past, but we just want to make sure that we level set for what you should expect coming into Azure and that, you know, during the demo, everything makes sense. So the first thing to understand is that APIs, you know, each API individually represents a set of operations that's going to be available to developers. You know, an API for doing a get to certain database would be one API, for example. And then each API contains a reference to that backend service. It's actually implementing it. And the operations map to operations implemented by the service. all pretty basic, all make sense. So getting into what operations are, you know, they're configurable, but they are what give you that control over the mapping, the query and the path parameters, and any sort of content you want to put in request response. So you're going to be applying rate limits, quotas, IP policies, etc. Now, when you look at products, that's a key concept to really understand, is that that's where you're going to surface APIs to developers. In order for a developer to consume an API, it has to be in a packaged in a product. You can put one API in a product, you can put multiple APIs in a product. But it's really important that you understand that if you create the API in API management, you need to also have it in a product in order to publish. You can do that approval at the product level, so auto or admin approve. Let's say, going back to those examples we talked about, wanting to really make different APIs accessible to different groups, you know, whether that's internal teams, a variety of different internal teams, variety of different partners, variety of different external third-party developers. You know, you can create different products and use that as kind of an access management system. And you can also make those make registration auto or admin approved. So, you know, you might want to just publish certain products to internal teams and make sure that they're admin approved, because you want to make sure that this is only teams that have really worked with your particular group to get approval. Or you could say, hey, this is an external API that I really want anyone to use. Just auto approve anyone who registers and requests access. Talking about what groups are, again, used to manage product visibility, you can surface different products to different groups. That's, again, how developers are going to actually access your APIs. Out of the box, we provide groups in terms of admins that would be used in API Publisher. So you have access to pretty much all the functionality you're going to see in any demo. There are developers and there are guests. You can also create custom groups, right? So that's where we talked about having different groups defined view different products, both in terms of an internal versus external, or internal versus partner versus third party. And you can even have different internal teams. You know, you might want to expose everything to your direct organization, but for the wider organization, you may want to be able to enforce a different set of throttle. You might create a separate group for that just because you want to have different policies on an API. So those are all things to think through, and we'll continue to talk about them today. But you know, the concept of products and groups are tightly related, and that's really going to be how you can make sure that, you know, you're giving access to the right right APIs to the right people at the right time, and making sure they're only using it in the way prescribed. Last concept we want to cover is that policies term, and that's really those collection of statements that are executed on request or response. So, you know, if you want to do anything like XML to JSON, call rate limiting, et cetera. And again, you can apply those policies to different products so that, you know, different groups are getting different experiences. So this is kind of how everything ties together. We want to give you that kind of high-level, 1,000-foot view before we jump into a little bit about what that actually enables you to do, the landscape features during preview. Of course, we'll be adding more as we march towards GA and beyond. But this will kind of give you a nice little level set going into the demo. And with that, I want to hand it over to Yevgeny.
Thank you, Miranda, for nice introduction. So I hope now everybody understand why do they need an API. And I'll try to explain why do we need an API management and how it works. So now you can to create new instances of API management, you can do it from your Azure portal. So it's very easy. So you can go to your Azure account and you can create new API management instance. So when you create it, you will be able to manage it. You will be able to look at some statistics. You can easily scale it to your needs, and you can configure custom DNS names. So when you create new instance, you will get out of the box this developer portal, this developer experience that you see right now. And you can easily customize this developer experience using our customization tools. So you can change look and feel, fonts, colors. You can change content of developer portal. and layout of the pages. Every developer portal comes with tools.
Yevgeny, do you want to screen? Sorry to interrupt you. I'm still seeing slides. Are you in demo mode? I just wanted to make sure that we were aligned on showing the same thing. I might be seeing the wrong thing on my screen.
Oh. really sorry. I jump into demo. Let me go back. So, Miranda, do you see slides now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry again. so when you decide that you want to expose your API, you don't want to open up your internal implementation to your partners and developers. So you want to hide it. You want to facade it. So that's why adaptation is a very important aspect of API management. So adaptation functionality that we provide helps you to hide the complexity of your backend. It's basically all about facading your internal implementation, changing how APIs looks like, changing interfaces, and etc. Next important aspect is to drive adoption. So you wanna get as many as possible developers or partners using your system, your APIs. So we provide a nice set of tools for developers to learn about your API, discover your APIs, try your APIs before they start development, and share their applications with your community. Of course, exposing APIs all APIs that you expose should be protected, and you make sure that you have a control over who is using your API, what quotas or rate limit or throttling you define to set up for different audiences. So protection is another set of features that we provide you out of the box, and we allow you to easily manage access to your APIs and configure limitations and restrictions. And when you open up your APIs, it's very important to get insights in activities on your API program, who is using your APIs, what operations are more popular, who is your top developers, and etc. So I always compare it with launching your website. You don't want to launch your website without web analytics because it's black box, and you need good insights and reports to be able to understand your API ecosystem and tune it to success. And of course, your APIs are changing, you release new versions, you want to make sure that your developers, your partners, they have a nice transition from one version to another version. You make sure that before you expose new set of APIs, you test it internally, and then you open them to developers or partners. So these five sets of features that API management provides out of the box to you. So next slide, I don't want to read all the features that our API management product offers today. We'll share a slide so you can read it, but I just want to give you a high overview. So basically, we provide a rich set of tools and instruments to developers. So your developers or your partners, we provide rich set of tools and instruments to you as API provider to manage your API program and have a control over it. So now let me go back to demo that I already started once. I'll do it again. Miranda, let me know if you see my screen.
It is coming up right now. There you are.
Perfect. So now we're on the same page. So your journey in API management starts on Azure portal. Now you can go to your Azure into Azure portal, and you can create new instance of API management. And we provide you easy way to scale your API management instance. So if you start slow and if you see a lot of activities and a lot of partners and developers, so you can easily scale your infrastructure, API infrastructure, to handle volume, and you can easily configure custom DNS names and etc. So it's very easy. It takes literally several minutes to instantiate new API management instance. So when you do it, that's what you will get out of the box as a developer portal. So what you're looking at right now is developer portal that comes with API management product. So you can easily customize this developer experience. So we provide you nice set of tools to change look and feel, colors, font, to reflect your brand. And also you have a full control over the content of this developer portal. So you can change, you can add additional pages, add additional content, change layout, and et cetera. So you own the developer portal. Every portal comes with a set of tools for developers out of the box. So let's look at them. First, it's a list of APIs. So developers can look at the APIs that you provide them. They can look at the documentation. And this documentation is auto-generated, so you don't need to deal with HTML. So what you do, and I'll show you later, you, as an API provider, you provide us API metadata, and we do the rest of the work. So we generate this nice documentation where developers can find all the operations that your API provides, all parameters. They can copy-paste sample code that is auto-generated as well on different languages. Developers can see sample responses. Here's JSON, so see what your API returns back. Another nice tool that we provide developers with is API Interactive Console. So developers can make real API call without writing any lines of code. And let me show how it works. So let me pick my subscription. So I have several subscriptions for this API. And let me make an API call. So you can see I get really nice response, so I can explore it. If you notice, I have a special header here, and this header says that I want to get detailed trace information about this API call. So that's why in my response I have a link to blob where you can find step-by-step detailed execution of this API call. So it's a nice tool for API providers to diagnose issues and find problems with APIs. So that's a nice interactive experience. So let me show you other tools that we provide developers with. It's issue tracking, so developers can submit issues. And use API provider, you can send, you can reply and resolve this issue. So it's a nice interactive experience, collaborative tool for developers. Developers can submit applications that they developed, and use API provider, you can approve or reject them. So it's a nice, it's a simple workflow. And a nice tool for developers to promote their work and for API providers to promote their APIs. Developers have access to their profile where they can change their information. They can look at the analytics related to their activities, their API activities, so basically all API calls that their application produced. So it's a nice set of reports. I'll show you reports in details on administrative console because we provide the same set of reports to API providers and API users. These reports for developers filtered by developers, that's only one difference. So we'll get back to reports later. Developers can see all their subscriptions and keys, and they can regenerate keys, and they can subscribe to new products or new APIs, and they can submit applications. So let me show you one example of developer portal that is built on top of our system and completely customized. So this is a Speak to It API, one of our public preview customer. And as you can see, this developer portal looks completely different, but has the same tools for developers as our out of the box. The open portal. So let me switch to API provider experience. So I just shown you developer experience, what your developers and partner will see and will have as a set of tools. So now you're looking at administrative console. So now I am an API provider. That's what I see. I can see all my APIs that are part of my API infrastructure. I can see recent activities, number of API calls, errors, bandwidth, average response time, issues, if any. I can see all my products with number of subscribers, and I can see all applications that have been submitted or approved. There are two ways to add new API on our platform. One is import, so you can easily import one of the API definition formats, Waddle or Swagger, or you can add API manually. So you can provide title, location of your web service, and suffix for your new API. That's the first step. And second step is to provide us metadata about your API. So that's this metadata we will use to generate documentation for your developers and interactive experience. So let's look at the metadata. So what we require. So first of all, you need to provide us a signature of your operation. So it's HTTP verb. URL template. Rewrite URL template allows you to adapt API interface and hide some complexity of your internal implementations. So, for instance, in this case, you as an API provider, you want to follow best practice, REST best practice, and you want to structure your API and put name indicator of resource into URL path, and but your backend by some reason accept ID as a query parameter. So that's what we will send to your backend, and that's what developers will see on documentation. So you have ability to hide some inefficiency in your backend or hide some complexity. For instance, you can put some hidden parameter here that developers will not see. Then you can easily configure cache by defining which parameters and headers will be part of cache key, and you can specify TTL for your cache. You can define and describe parameters and give some samples to your developers, sample responses to your developers. So, and you can add additional representations. So, for instance, I have a JSON. I can XML, add XML representation as well. So, give different samples to developers. So, this is how you enter API metadata in our system. So, after you've done this work, your developers will be able to enjoy nice documentation and interactive experience on the developer portal. So this is the first step, add API. Next step, you have to package your API into one of your products. So products, as Miranda said before, is a group of APIs with defined visibility, terms of services, and rate limitation on throttling. So you can, so for instance, we have a starter product here that has throttling and quota, and we have these APIs as part of this product. So we can define if a product needs approval. So for instance, if you want to make sure that nobody can subscribe to your product without your approval, you can easily configure it. And you can define visibility for this product and all APIs that are part of this product. So it allows you to easily configure APIs that are for internal use, APIs that are for partners, and APIs that are for public developers. And you can migrate those kind of APIs from one bucket to another bucket easily using this tool. We allow you to add custom groups. So we have predefined groups, but you can easily add groups like employees, partners, and etc. Next set of features is policies. So policies is statements that you can inject into API request and response, and you can perform different transformations or validations. We allow you to inject policy on four different levels. On a global level, so policies will be apply to all API calls that are published on your platform, or on a product level, or on an API or operation level. So let's look at the our starter product, and you can find this rate limit and quota policy that is applied to this product. And as you can see, we have inbound and outbound. So that's basically request and response. So you can drag and drop policies into any of those pipelines. So we have a pretty rich list of built-in policies. So like convert XML to JSON, JSON to XML. You can enable cores. You can replace strings in your response or request. You can enable JSONP. You can set headers, set parameters, and restrict IP callers. So it's a pretty rich set of policies, and we are constantly adding new policies into this list. Also, we are planning to enable custom policy, and custom policy will allow you to create your own logic and inject this logic into API request response pipeline. So it will allow you to fill the gap that we have in our policy set, so or implement some custom logics. For instance, you can trim API responses to optimize response for specific use case. So for instance, you have an API that returns a lot of data, but on iPhone, you don't use all this data, you just need subset. So to save traffic, you can just enable a filter as a custom policy and remove a field that you don't use on iPhone. It's just an example. So let's move to analytics. So we provide four sets of reports. First, at glance, so it gives you a nice overview of your activities on your API portal, so you can find number of API calls, average response time, bandwidth, number of errors over time. So you can zoom in and explore a specific period. You can find you can find different metrics like blocked API calls, failed calls, successful calls, total calls, bandwidth grouped by your top developers, top products, top APIs, top operations. So it gives you nice insights on who is your developers and what operations or products are most popular. Next set of reports is all about usage. So here you can filter by arbitrary date range. You can filter by products, APIs, or operations. And you can find number of API calls and total bandwidth mapped on a world map. So you can see who are your customers, where API calls are coming from. And you can zoom in on a state level or for United States and on a country level for the rest of the world. So, for instance, so next set of reports is health. Here you can, again, you can filter and slice and dice, and you can find information about how healthy is your API program. So you can find how many blocks API calls, how many successful API calls, and other calls. So it kind of gives you a nice overview of what is going on in terms of API responses. Cache shows you how effective is your cache configurations. So, for instance, if you believe that your APIs are cacheable, but you see a lot of missed calls, basically missed means cache, the data was not in a cache. Probably something wrong with your configuration, and you need to go back to cache policies and configure those cache policies to get to the state which you need. So it's a nice hint for you. Next set of reports gives you information about performance of your APIs. So we break it down in two groups. It's API response time, it's overall round trip for API call, and service response time is time that was taken to for proxy to get data from your backend. So again, you can drill down on a map, so you can see, for instance, here you can see that consumers in Brazil experience higher latency. So probably it's time to provision additional proxy in South America data center, so you can serve your customers in Brazil with the same performance as customers in the United States have. And activity, filters, slice and dice, and gives you all the details about activities of your product, of your developers, and slice and dice by developers, product, APIs, and operations. On the developer section, you can manage your developer community. So you can find all your developers, you can invite developers, you can add additional users, you can block your developers if you see some suspicious activities. Also, you can look at the developer profile and you can find all the contact information about developers, subscriptions that she or he has, requests for subscriptions, that's applications and groups that developer is part of. Groups where you manage and add additional groups. Notifications where you can subscribe to different notifications that our system send to your developers and use API provider, so you can easily subscribe to any of them. BCC allows you to receive all emails that our system sends on your behalf to all your community, so you can see all this communication. Also, we allow you easily customize all templates, email templates. So here you can change pretty much everything. So you have full control over email that we send. Applications, that's where you approve or reject submitted applications by your developer community. So it's this app gallery that I shown you before. And security, that's where you can configure additional options for your developers to register on your portal. So you can enable Facebook, Google, Microsoft or Twitter web identities as an option to register. So if developers don't like to create another account like username and password, they can use one of those identities to sign in on your portal. And the rest is content management features, so that allows you to customize your developer experience. So, for instance, appearance allows you to easily change look and feel, as I told you before. So you can customize theme. And content navigation and widgets allows you to control layout, navigation, and pages on your developer portal. So that's high-level overview of our product. So let me go back to slide deck.
We're back on slides.
Okay, perfect. So we have before acquisition, as Miranda mentioned, we had 25 customers on our system, and now we launched a new integrated product on Azure just a few weeks ago, and we are proud to have customers, public preview customers like Wellmark and Blue Garden. So they really like our product and simplicity of API configuration. So I hope you will like their API. So it's a really nice set of APIs that they provide to developer community. And we have a lot of videos, how-tos, tutorials, how to use our product. I believe that it's self-explanatory, so it's very intuitive and easy to use. So, but you can find a lot of resources like documentation and videos if you follow those links. So again, we'll share the slides. So you don't need to remember it. So I guess that's it, and we are ready to answer your questions if you have any.
Yeah, no, thanks, Eugenie and Miranda. We've got a number of questions here from the audience, so let's go ahead and jump in. The first one is, what would I need to do in order to use API management with a web service I have hosted on-prem? How much of my information would be stored in Azure?
So the only requirement that we have, there should be HTTP connection or HTTPS connection between Azure, where proxy is hosted, and on-prem location of your web service. So also you can establish secure channel between Azure and on-prem, and Azure has different options and services to enable, like service relay and VPN or BizTalk services.
Great, thank you. And then another question on custom policies. When will you add support for them, and are there any new options kind of in the interim?
So we don't have exact date on a custom policy. I can tell you that it's one of the highest priority feature for our team, so we are working on it. We hope to release this feature in the next 3 months, 3-4 months. As an interim solution, we suggest our customers to use mobile services as a kind of virtual API layer, so you can create some custom transformation using Azure Mobile Services. This feature will come soon, so we are very focused to deliver it as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, that actually kind of dovetails nicely into another question we had around just distinguishing between APA management and mobile services and notification hubs. So if either of you could maybe just kind of speak at a high level to, you know, how they fit in with one another, that would be great.
Sure. Sure. So, I mean, in mobile, we've really tried to invest in kind of providing an end-to-end solution in that vertical. I mean, obviously, you can pick and choose whatever you need based on, you know, any assets you might already have existing. But we did want to kind of provide that end-to-end view. So we talked about mobile services as both a really great back-end for net new apps, but also for adding a mobility layer to existing enterprise systems or data. So you could easily imagine a scenario where you have on-prem CRM system, but you want to have like a very lightweight mobile app. You're not saving any of that data in the cloud. You're keeping it all in CRM, but you want to put notifications to maybe mobile sales folks when a new need is added, or let them access CRM data from a mobile device. Again, not storing any of it in Azure. So that's a great option for that, but it's also a great option for building and hosting APIs. So, you know, the custom API feature in mobile services kind of provides that environment, as well as Yevgeny mentioned, kind of an interim solution for custom policies that you would then, in API management, do the publish and manage component of it. You know, we found that a lot of customers might be proficient in building and hosting mobile apps and, you know, might be perfectly capable of building a system for publishing and managing, but would much rather not. Would much rather not do that, especially, you know, in terms of setting all the quotas and configuring caching and making it really easy for developers to self-provision an account, to be able to block developers, to set up the auto approval or admin approval policy, to configure different how to make it easy to provision new groups, things like that. So we kind of see that as kind of an end-to-end, but also API management obviously adds a lot of value for folks that aren't even using mobile services. They might just have existing web services on-prem or websites or in another colo environment. So that's great. In terms of notification hubs, that's really just what we, another kind of specialization piece we built out that can be used by itself or in conjunction with other services, and that's really just the high-scale, low-latency mobile push notification engine. We created it and found that, you know, to really give customers who are building mobile apps the segmentation they need at scale and to do so efficiently, we need to kind of have a standalone service. So that's kind of the view end-to-end. Hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah, no, thank you. Okay. And we've got a couple of questions here around pricing. So if you could speak to how the pricing for the feature works in a little more detail and how it would change as API usage scales.
Sure. So our pricing is currently available on azure.microsoft.com. If you go to pricing and then API management, you will be able to take a look. Currently in preview, we have two tiers available, one being the developer tier, the other being the standard tier. During the preview period, they are available at a 50% discount. So the developer tier is currently $49 a unit, and standard tier is $349 a unit. We have had some questions as to why there's not a free tier. The reason is that, you know, to be able to support a free tier in a cost-efficient manner for ourselves, we'd have to kind of basically dedicate a ton of engineering resources to providing that. And we wanted to make sure we're kind of building out the features that everybody was asking for first. So, you know, we absolutely are listening to feedback. We've gotten a lot on our user voice account, which I encourage you all to take a look at, which is feedback.azure.com. And you can definitely submit feature requests, one being a free tier, and vote on them there. We're definitely monitoring that and replying as much as we can. But in the short term, we decided that we want to get some new features there. You've been talked about custom policies. You know, you might imagine a scenario where you want SOAP to rest. So, you know, kind of in evaluating and implementing those additional value-add features, we thought would be kind of a first step. And then looking at a free tier later down the line is definitely on our radar. Please keep bringing the feedback.
Great, thanks. And another question just coming in on what tools are available to allow users to monetize usage. Are there any reports available on a per user or per product level?
Yes, we have, as I shown, we have a rich set of reports, and one of the reports is actually usage by developers. Right now, we don't allow you to export this data, but again, it's one of the features that we are planning to release soon, and we will allow our customers to export those reports into Excel or whatever format they need. Or same, this data will be available through our API. So it's another question that I see about our own management API. And again, it's on our list, and we are planning to release our API in the next month or two. And this API Great. Will allow to pull all this data.
Great, thank you. And another question on the roadmap: is OAuth authentication on the roadmap? And, you know, if so, when will you add support for it?
So that's definitely something we've gotten some requests for, and it's under evaluation, and hopefully we'll have something to mention. I'm assuming you mean Chicago. It's definitely a request we've been getting, and of course, you know, helping us prioritize these requests is always helpful to get votes on feedback.azure.com. Definitely a direct channel to the team is kind of that prioritization is being done.
Okay. Thanks. Last question is CQRS X domain a pattern or source code support?
Let me read this question. I need some clarification. John, can you clarify your question, please?
Yeah, I'll give the audience member a moment to send in a more specific question, and if not, we can definitely follow up after this session and make sure to get the question answered. Well, it looks like we're just about at the top of the hour, so I think we'll have to close it off there. Once again, if anyone does have any other questions, please feel free to reach out via email. Big thanks to everyone for tuning in, and thanks to both of our guest speakers for joining us today. So hope you all have a good rest of your day.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate you guys joining us. And like I said, we're available anytime, Azure API MGMT at Microsoft.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.